Well, friends, we come to listen to the Word of God. We're going to continue hearing it in Mark chapter 8. We've been doing a series so far, and the series has been called Have You Met Jesus? We are in part 12 of that series. So Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. For the sake of a title, I've called this message, Have You Met Jesus? He is more than able to care for His people. Have you met Jesus? He is more than able to care for His people. He cares for people. He provides for people. I trust we'll be able to see that as we look at this passage and that your hearts would indeed be encouraged. Well, we're going to look at it in 3 points in the sermon. And I hope you'll be able to remember this because it really helps each of our lives. We're going to look at the plight of people. We're going to look at people's practical difficulties. And we're going to look at the provision of Christ. Okay, we'll look at that together. Let me start by asking you a question. As a Christian, you meet someone. What would you say to someone who's been following Jesus, faithfully following the Lord, watching Him doing things for others, yet they never seem to have anything done for them? What would you say to such a person? The person who is wondering if Jesus cares. The person who is wondering if Jesus knows what they are going through. Jesus referred to, or He spoke about following Him in this way. He said, take up your cross and follow Me. It means it's not going to be easy, isn't it? It means it's going to be difficult. It's going to be sacrificial. It's not all bed of roses. Actually, it's going to seem like death every time. Take up your cross and follow Me. But we can be all depressed by that. Rather than seeing the joy of taking up our cross and following Jesus. You see, taking our cross and following Jesus is actually very rewarding. Following Jesus is said to be very rewarding, even when it doesn't seem like it is rewarding now. Look with me to Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at the plight first. And we're told here in verse 1, during those days, which days are these? If you were here with us last week, you remember I tried to explain the route that Jesus was taken from Tyre. He went around the northern regions of Galilee on the borders there. And He came south and he entered into the Decapolis. During those days when Jesus was in the Decapolis, and we saw last week that large crowds came to Him, we are told here in chapter 8 verse 1, another large crowd gathered. Another large crowd had gathered around Jesus. Now, there's something very interesting here, and I mentioned it last time to you. I want to mention it again just so that we remember it. It is in the broader region, parts of this region, that they are Gentiles. They have a very strong Greek influence. They are a pagan nation. They are an ungodly people. And it is in this place that Jesus comes with His disciples. And it is in this place that Jesus, earlier on, was chased away because of a wonderful miracle that He did in delivering someone. The man who had the legion of demons, and Jesus cast out those demons into the pigs. Now we are told here in verse 1, during those days another large crowd gathered. And people had heard about Jesus after that time. And when Jesus entered the region from the east, they ran to Him. They flocked to Him. They threw their sick. They threw the people who had various medical difficulties to Jesus. And Jesus was healing people. And we saw the last time, towards the end of chapter 7, that Jesus healed a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. But now what we see here again, this large crowd, another large crowd gathers around Jesus. And Jesus looks at this crowd and he continues, the verse continues in verse 1, says, since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said. I'm going to pause again in verse 1 to highlight this phrase, since they had nothing to eat. Since they had nothing to eat. Now, we're going to highlight the plight of these people. These people were in need. Jesus says in verse 2, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. They have nothing to eat. You know, friends, we see people in need all around us. In the pastoral ministry, we see various kinds of needs. We see different needs of people. We see people with temporary needs. And we see people with eternal needs. And I want to tell you that each and every one of you seated here, as well as myself, we have temporary needs and we have an eternal need. And Jesus looked at this crowd and he saw both. He saw their eternal need and he saw their temporary need. What has he been doing with them all this time? He has been teaching them. He has been addressing their eternal need. In the opening chapter of Mark, when Jesus went out and started his ministry after being baptized, what did he say? He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And he said that so that people would be saved as they repented from their sin and as they believed in him so that they can be saved. Now we've dealt with that as we looked at earlier parts of Mark. So Jesus has been teaching the crowds. He's been dealing with people's eternal needs, with their spiritual condition, with their spiritual problem. And I want to say as a church here, we are very concerned about that. We share the heart of Christ in terms of people's spiritual needs. But I say that as a church organizationally. And it saddens me that it's very, very difficult for me to say that as a church on an individual member-to-member basis. Not all of us share in that eternal concern for people. It is evident from our meetings of the Bible study, the ladies and men's fellowship, of the various meetings that we have. Because that which is eternally life-giving and sustaining in terms of Christ has seemed to have lost value in our lives. I speak to you as your pastor this morning because in our ministry on a day-to-day basis, both Bishop Raj and I would acknowledge that there are people within this church, even those who are signed members of this church, still have an eternal need of salvation. Because we have not come to understand who Christ is. We have accepted all of his temporary provisions and we have never come to accept the eternal provision of Christ. Jesus looked at this crowd and he said they have nothing to eat. And he identifies the temporal needs. He has been ministering to them in terms of their spiritual need. And he now speaks to the disciples and he says, disciples, these people have a need. They have nothing to eat. This means that they're going to somehow, if they continue in this way, they're going to die. And I have compassion for them. You see, he dealt with the spiritual thing. He saw that spiritually they were hungry and spiritually they needed to be fed and he fed them with his word. Now he calls his disciples to attention and he says they have nothing to eat. And so Jesus has a basis here, another base to teach his disciples. And as a disciple of Christ, I want to say to you, Christ wants to be teaching us this morning. Please pay attention. He has a basis for testing his disciples, and he has another base for teaching his disciples. You know, friends, sometimes a person's need is the ground for testing their faith. Sometimes a person's need is the ground for teaching them in their faith. If you don't agree with me, go and read James chapter 1 and verse 1. And we see what God does through our needs in times of testings, times of difficulties. During those days, another large crowd gathered, and since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to them, and he said, look with me at the compassion of Christ. Look at the compassion of Jesus here. He knows the needs of people. He knows the needs of people. I have compassion for this people, he says. You know, this word compassion is not some vain, empty pity that he has. You see someone on the side of the street begging and you feel sorry for them. That's not the compassion that he has. This word compassion speaks about this deep desire within him. You know that feeling you get in your stomach when you know you've got to do something? Not run to the toilet feeling. It's that feeling of knowing you need to do something right. You know, it's that feeling when you know you've got to do something for someone. It's that tugging at your heart. It's that gut feeling you speak about. And Jesus had that sort of passion for these people. That is the word it speaks about. That compassion that he had for these people. That yearning that he had to do something for these people that he saw who were in desperate need. I have compassion for these people, he says to his disciples. My fellow disciple in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is saying to us he has compassion for his people. And he calls you and I to identify with that compassion. He has compassion for his people. He knows the needs of people. You may be sitting here thinking, well, no one here knows what I'm going through. No one here understands what I'm going through. You may go through times where you think it's impossible for you to go on. You may go through times in life wondering, how am I going to get out of the situation? You may go through times looking through your physical eyes and seeing how big the problem is and not having a solution for your problem. But because you look only with your physical eyes, you really cannot see the source of your solution. And you do not see the God who has compassion for you in your situation. And you live in self-pity because you do not realize that God has compassion for you. Friends, this is the trap we all fall into as human beings. Look at the compassion of Christ. He knows the needs of people. He says, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days. They have nothing to eat. These people have been following Jesus, friends. As a result of following Christ, they have found themselves in a position where they are helpless. They are about to die. And if they go on their own strength and on their own provisions, they will collapse on the way. The journey is too long. You know, don't you feel like that in life? My problem is too big. I don't have enough at my disposal to solve the problem. I don't have enough to help me. And the journey of life seems so long that if I continue with what I have, or what I don't have, I'm probably going to collapse along the way. I'm going to give up. They were with him for 3 days. They have nothing to eat. They're hungry. They're weak. And they still have a long way to go. You know, friends, in our spiritual life as well, we seem to go through that. Now, spiritual life following Christ, it can seem so difficult, so hard to persevere. We don't have enough resources. Why? Because we don't spend enough time around God's Word. We don't have enough resources because we do not take in all that has been taught to us. We don't have enough resources because we do not come to God in prayer. We want to carry on our own strength. See, part of our problem in not coming to Christ is that we don't trust Him enough. Yes, He is Lord. Yes, He is my Savior. But what can He do in this situation? I've got no bread on the table to put before my kids. How am I going to feed them? It seems like I'm going to lose my job in a week's time. How am I going to carry on? I'm faced with so much of crime around me. How do I protect myself and my family? And the worries of life tend to build up and build up and build up and build up. And it starts to weigh heavy upon us. From a physical side, from temporary things, people are in need. From the spiritual side, living through this life faithfully following Christ, or even having salvation, people are in need. Here's the plight of humanity, and we all go through it. Let me show you the love of Christ, friends. He knew their plight, and He has compassion. He has compassion for those who follow Him. So let me say to you that your God and your Savior has compassion upon you. Would you allow that to register in your mind? My Jesus has compassion for me. My Jesus cares for me. You tell me, knowing that, how would you live your life now? He has compassion for them. Friends, we're going to move on to look at the practical difficulty. The practical difficulty of the disciples. Jesus calls those who were His disciples. He says, I have compassion for these people. Here is the plight. Here is their problem. And look at verse 4. His disciples answer Him, But the problem's too big. Where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Where can we get enough? Turn back a few pages in your Bibles to chapter 6, verse 30. Chapter 6, verse 30. These very same disciples that say to Jesus, but were the very same disciples who took from the hand of Jesus those 5 loaves of bread and the few fish that He had, and they fed the 5,000 men who were present. The very same disciples who says, but Lord, we don't have enough, were the ones who fed the 5,000 men and all the others. It is these disciples who have been with Jesus It is these disciples who have seen what Christ can do are the same disciples that doubt the power of Christ. I want this to strike home. For you who have seen what Christ has done in your life, let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. In saving you, in saving me, a wretched sinner, if you knew the life that I came from, you'd be surprised that God has even called me to do what I do today for Him. And because I know what God has done for me, I know that He is able to save the other person who is a wretched sinner. Let's look at things physically. You know what God has brought you through from your physical, material and financial and emotional and psychological and material and all sorts of challenges from a temporary perspective while we live on this earth. You know what God has brought you through on a day-to-day basis. Then why doubt Him today? And why doubt Him tomorrow? His disciples, but Lord, where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? See, the number of the crowd was too large. Look at verse 9. We are told about 4,000 men were present. That's leaving aside the number of women that would have followed and the children. How do you feed them in a remote place? And friends, really, isn't this our human response? That humanly speaking, when we look at the plight of our life, it's impossible for us to solve it. The task is too great. And our human response to Christ, our human response to our troubles is this: but what can I do? They're in a remote place. They don't have enough bread or food to feed this crowd. The crowd is too large, and there is nothing they believe that anyone can do. Are you going through such a problem? Do you know someone who's going through such a difficulty? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Look at His provision, thirdly, verses 5 to 9. Look at His wonderful provision. You know what Jesus turns around and says to His disciples? He asks them a question. How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? It was a very similar response the last time when He fed the crowd of 5,000. How many loaves do you have? What do you have? Let me ask you the question, friend. How much do you have? How much do you need? You know, the disciples looked at the 7 loaves that they had and they said, well, Jesus, and when we talk about loaves, you're not talking about the 700 gram or 800 gram that you buy in the shops. Their loaves would have been the equivalent of 1 or 2 slices of bread. That was the equivalent of 1 loaf. They had 7 of those. So perhaps in our time you could compare that to 1 loaf of bread. And they say to Jesus, we have 7. And really, Jesus, I mean, there's 12 of us disciples, plus you, it's 13. Plus the friends that are following us. We can't feed 4,000 people. Look at the crowd. But look at the provision, and here the action starts in verse 6. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When He had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, He broke them and he gave them to His disciples to set before the people. And they did that. I want you to picture this in your mind. I want you to picture what's happening. You are one of the disciples. You take these 7 loaves. You know it's not enough for you. You are also hungry with Jesus. With the crowds that were following Jesus. And you give this to the hand of Christ. And He starts to break it. And He's giving it out. The first loaf, the second loaf, the third loaf. And He's breaking these slices. And He's giving it off. My brother, we trust you would feel well. As we give this bread to the hands of Jesus, He's breaking it and it's not getting finished. And He asked them for those fish. They had a few small fish as well, and He gave thanks to God. I want you to see the miracle that's happening from the hand of Jesus. He breaks fish. Fish that were never born. Because a few small fish have already given out. But fish are appearing in His hands that were never there. He's breaking bread which had never grown to be wheat and ground and produced. But He had produced them in His hand. This is a miracle of creation before their very eyes. Where there was nothing, God made something. When God created the world, He created it out of nothing. So it's not out of the ability of Christ to put something there when there was nothing there. And He's breaking this bread and you're giving it. And 10 people, and 20 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, 4,000 people are being fed. And we are told in verse 8, the people ate and were satisfied. They didn't just have crumbs given to them. They ate and were satisfied. How much do you have, friends? Are you trusting God with it? Jesus shows us, even in this miracle, that you have more than you need. I have more than I need. He shows us that we have all of our daily provisions met. On a spiritual side, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the seal, the assurance of our salvation, and we have spiritual gifts which come from the Spirit of God. We have a Christian testimony to witness about Jesus. And in this world which is fallen and depraved, we have a Christian life to live that can impact and change this world. And where people have nothing, we have something. One loaf is better than no loaf. And we are called to trust God with all that we have. From a spiritual side and use it from the temporal side. Trust God with it. And you see the obedience of the disciples in giving to Christ, even that which was their last things. The obedience of the disciples in giving it to Christ brought about a miraculous blessing for the multitudes. And think about what is to happen if we as a church were to follow that example. From the physical side and all things that are temporal, and from the spiritual side, if we were to bring our gifts that God has given us and allow Him to use it, imagine what would happen to the multitudes who live in Newlands West. Imagine what would happen in this world if Christians were to do that. I'm going to encourage you to follow Christ's example. It shows us to always give thanks to God. Look at verse 6. He took the little and He gave thanks for it. He took the little and He gave thanks. In being faithful, in being thankful to God, we should generously share. That's the second example. And the third example we see from Christ is that God blesses and provides for others by His graciously abundant blessings and provisions to those that whom He has chosen. Now I know it is a human thing for us to take what God has given us and to pad up our life and to supply our lifestyles with it. And we believe that God has given us because we've worked hard for it and we deserve it. But I want to say to you, friends, that God gives us more than we deserve. Let that register in your minds. God gives us more than we deserve. He gives us more than we need. Why? So that we can use what He has given us for His work. So that we can be good stewards of what He has given us, so that His work can continue. Jesus took limited supplies and He multiplied it. Realize that God gives us more than we deserve, more than we need, more than we know we have. The results, people were satisfied in verse 8 and 9. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 before we come back to Mark, and we'll close with this. Matthew chapter 6. Probably a very familiar verse to us, but how easily it slips our minds, especially when we need to realize these truths. Matthew 6 verse 25, Jesus says to those listening to Him, He says, "Do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? The body more important than clothes?" I think our priorities are misplaced then, isn't it? That's what Christ is pointing out. The life of a person, our life, and our bodies are more important to God. Now cast your eyes down to verse 28. "Do not worry about your clothes." And God is saying, look at what I do. See the lilies of the field. See how they grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. God has clothed us with righteousness of Christ, and He clothes us physically. Verse 31, this is where I want us to focus. Verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things." Friends, if this is your worry about the temporal things of life, then you are no better than a pagan. Because these are the things that pagans worry about. Read that again. "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Here's where our priority is meant to be. Seeking first the kingdom of God and righteousness that is God's. That is what we are to be focusing on in our lives. And all these things God will provide. But we are to be seeking the things of God. Turn back to chapter 8, Mark chapter 8, and you see Jesus sort of expands on this in terms of salvation. And He says to Peter, who doesn't seem to realize the things of God, in verse 33, He looks at His disciples, He rebukes Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter, you are no better than a pagan. Because when you think of things, you think of them from a human perspective. Have in mind the things of God." He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples, and here's the point, friends. "If anyone would come after me," Jesus said, "he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give to save your soul, friends? There's nothing that we can give to save our souls. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Friends, if we have not met Jesus, and if we have not been satisfied spiritually by the provisions of Jesus, then we still have nothing, even if we have everything in this world. Jesus fed people the bread and the fish. In John chapter 6, he said that we should eat of him and we will not go hungry. We will be forever satisfied. And if we are constantly running after the things of this world, we will forever be dissatisfied by the things of this world and in this life. Only Jesus satisfies your soul. He satisfied God. And because he satisfied God, we have our sins forgiven. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want you to reflect on these words of what's been happening in the miracle. And friends, if you have not met Jesus, you would not know how sufficient Jesus is for everything in your life. But if you have met Jesus, and the person who has met Jesus will not become anxious easily about the things of this life or worry about life matters without hope. Sure, we are to be concerned about the day-to-day affairs of our life, but we will not become worried to the point of being anxious and misplacing priorities. If you have met Jesus, then you will know his care, his compassion. You will know his provision. If you have met Jesus, you will not stress about God's delay in a situation, but you will trust him. You will wait patiently. If you met Jesus, you will not grumble about your situation, but you will bring it to the Lord in prayer. You will persevere and hold on in your faith. Friends, this has been a very practical subject. I'm going to ask Indran to come up. He's going to lead us in a song. And while he does that, we are very well aware that many of you here have a need. If your need is spiritual, then come to Christ this morning and ask him to save you. Put your faith in him. If your need is temporal, it may be physically, with your health, with your body, it may be emotionally that you are struggling, you may be struggling psychologically, you may be struggling financially, you may have unemployment, perhaps you are struggling with material things, or in other areas of your life. Whatever your temporal struggles are, I don't want to ask you to stand, but I want you to just be in agreement with me as we pray. Our Father, help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face. And indeed, Lord, the things of this earth will grow dim in the light of your glory, in the light of your grace. Help us not to be overwhelmed by our plight, but even in our plight and our difficulties, we would come to you for your care and compassion. We would come to you in prayer and continue to trust you. Amen.